Good morning, everyone. Hi. Let's turn to the to Proverbs 23. And we'll only be reading from one verse, which is 26. Give me your heart, my son, and let your eyes delight in my ways. So today, I just wanted to share a little bit about giving our hearts to God. And along this whole sharing, I would also say, touch on some other verses, but the main one is, give me your heart, my son, and let your eyes delight in my ways. I had a question, you know, recently, so many things has been happening to me, and suddenly I was in a place where I was asking myself, where is my heart at? Where have I placed it? You know, and where do I trust it to be? And I just feel quite convicted in this area, and so I just wanted to share with all of us and, you know, ask you the same question, you know, where is your heart at right now, and where do you trust it to be at? Is it in yourself, in your friends, your family, your parents, your job, your success, beauty, ability, health? There are so many areas that we can place our hearts at. And for me, at a very young age, I was taught by my parents that they always hold my best interest and that they would never lead me to a path that was bad for me, that was destructive for me. And I believe that. I still believe that as a parent, you want the best for your child. But as I grew up, I started forming my own opinion. I started having my own experiences and encountering the world for myself. And soon I understand that their way was not necessarily the best way for me. At least that was what I thought. Whether it was because of my own ignorance or my parents' own flaws or their own fear of seeing their child walking in a destructive path, I don't know. But I had eventually ventured out and decided that I was the best person to hold on to my heart. And I did. I started holding on to my own heart. And many years later, I met Jesus. And for close to 3 years, every single day, I would pray to him and I would say, I give you my heart, I give you my heart, I give you my heart. I would beg him to take care of my heart. I would beg him to care and guard my heart. And that's because I had been so disappointed with myself. And I had hated a lot of the decisions that I had made in my life. I had also became angry and bitter. So when I met Jesus, these were prayers out of desperation, out of complete brokenness and fear. And one of the biggest reasons is because my heart had been trampled on by many people, many bouts of betrayal, hurt, offensive words and lies, and you know, the list goes on. And he was the only one that I could look to with, at that point, with just a small hope and a glimmer that there would be a change, that he will be able to take care and heal my heart. And, you know, I had placed my heart, my trust and my heart in my own hands for many years of my life. And before I met Jesus, I had placed it in relationships and in men. I thought that I would be able to find security in this area. But boy, did that fail me completely. I learned that to place it in myself, you know, I thought that placing it in myself, I would never fail me, but I was wrong. And while in my mind I don't believe that my heart was repairable, God continues to tell me that he is dependable, and he proves himself right. Soon after the third year of praying every day for God to guard my heart, you know, I began dating. You know, I met my husband now, and I have a child, you know, and I'm very, very thankful for that. God had assured me over and over again that he has got my heart. And so I was able to move forward and trust that he would heal my heart piece by piece. And in the areas of relationship, he certainly did. But coming back to my original question, then recently I was placed with the same issue again, the same question of, where did you place your heart? Where is your heart at? And then it hit me like, oh my gosh, all these years I had only given my heart to God in the areas of relationship. I thought that was the only area I needed to surrender to God, but actually, no. Throughout this time, from when I had given my heart to God until I'm married and I have a child, many things in life, you know, my life continues to happen. Many things happen. And, you know, I had experienced failed friendships and relationships, disappointments with family issues and family members. You know, I have experienced the cruelty of this world. It's really not that nice of a place sometimes. And also myself, most importantly, my own thoughts, what I feed myself in this area. And I learned that, you know, people can fail you, betray you, hurt you. Your work may leave you, overcome you, and turn you into a slave. Your looks and beauty will fade. It will disappoint you. It can break you. Your health is not forever. It is not dependable. One day you will grow old. One day you will become weak. But Jesus Christ never fails, because God is incapable of failing, incapable of betraying you, of hurting you, or of leaving you. If he was, he would not have sent his son to die for us. He was betrayed by us. He was failed by us, hurt by us, and abandoned by us. And I really feel that God wants to hold on to our hearts, and he's asking us to give it to him. I'm not sure, like, if you think that this is difficult to do so. I mean, because when I think of it logically, I'm thinking, yeah, I mean, sure, isn't it quite simple? How hard is it to trust a God that created the heavens and earth, you know, who spoke the earth into motion? You know, how hard is it to give him your heart? But yet I did find it quite difficult. And one of the main reasons, because I realized I had to fight against myself, my thoughts, and the things that were happening around me, the things that I allowed to come into my heart. And I think I'm still learning, but during this whole thing, I realized that, oh, we need to learn to guard our hearts. And it says in Proverbs 4:23, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. And if you look at a heart and understand that it's not just a physical organ, it actually consists of emotion and of will as well. I mean, examples would be many times we would say, oh, listen to your heart, you know. Perhaps it's because our heart has the ability and the capability to also lead the way and help us make decisions. And it's like when PSAM says, let the words, the knowledge, and whatever, the intellect sinks 12 inches down into your heart. And I believe that this can take us, allowing this to happen can take us either closer or further to God. And so our heart actually has feelings. Our heart actually has emotions. So learning what to guard against is also a very important part. And God says in Proverbs 4:20-23, which is part of what I just read, he said, my child, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep into your heart, for they bring life to those who find them, and healing to their whole body. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. So there is a duty for us to guard what comes into our heart, because from it flow the springs of life. We must filter out the negativity, the unwholesome things that would cause us to doubt God's ability, to be disorientated from our firm foundation, to bring a sense of fear Or to make us feel that we're better than we actually are, take away God's credit, think that we're bigger than God. And while it is not always as simple as it sounds, I really believe that He will give you the grace to do so, and allow because we allow Him to hold on to our heart. And when we do that, you only have to guard it. You don't have to worry about holding on to your heart and guarding it at the same time. Which means you don't really have to worry about the emotions and the will, because your heart is in a safe place. It is with God. You're just standing there to guard all those things that are coming. And the truth is, God promises us that we are the apple of His eye. In Zechariah 2:8, "For thus says the Lord of hosts, after glory He has sent me against the nations which plunder you, for he who touches you touches the apple of His eye." Isaiah 43:1, "But now thus says the Lord, your Creator, O Jacob, and He who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." Jeremiah 31:3, "The Lord appeared to him from after, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore I have drawn you with loving kindness." Isaiah 49:15-16, "Can a woman forget her nursing child and have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, but I will not forget you. Behold, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me." And I can go on and on with the promises of the Lord's love for us. If our Heavenly Father loves us this much, how can we not trust Him with our heart? And trust that He has and holds the best interest for us. Trust that He will never fail us and never forsake us. So I want to invite Janella up. And I just want to, really invite all of us to go to a place and ask the Lord, where is your heart? Where did you place it along the way in this walk of life? Which aspect? Some people may compartmentalize and put a bit here and put a bit there, but God asks for our whole heart. And if we have difficulty in giving our whole heart to Him and trusting that He is our God that loves us, that has a plan for us, that wants to be with us and wants to see us succeed, has given away everything that is precious to Him for us, that whether we can ask Him to help us and to teach us to really trust Him with our heart. Wherever place your heart might have been given to, or wherever it may have been, may today be the day that you turn to God and give it to Him instead. So let's spend some time in asking Him where your heart is and trusting Him. He is definitely better than myself to take care of my heart. I have failed myself so many times, and I don't think I'm alone. So let's take a minute to meditate on that. Father, we thank you so much, God. What a beautiful song. And God, we just really want to give you our heart. Of all place, God, you are the most dependable. You are the most trustworthy, God. Because you love us, you bring us life, God. You endure, God. You forgive us, Lord. You go before us, Lord. You pave our way, God. You protect us, God. You bless us. And may you be the only place where we devote our hearts in, Lord. Jesus, I pray, God, that you will come and also teach us to guard our hearts. Let us delight in your ways. As it's written in Philippians, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is good, is of good repute, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. God, you are true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, of good repute. You are excellent. You are worthy of praise. Let us dwell on you, God, because you are good. Thank you, Jesus, for today. Thank you that we have this opportunity to give you our heart once again, Lord. Let's spend some time to pray for our church community. Let's pray for those that are battling cancer and going through chemo and radiation therapy. Let's pray that there will be healing, there will be hope, and that their faith will rise up. Whatever treatment they go through, it will go well. It will sit well with their body, sit well with their health. Let's lift up our family, our community with family members that are ill and also need salvation. Let's pray that the Lord will bring people into their lives and continue to speak through our brothers and sisters as well, that they would truly receive the Lord as their Savior. Let's pray for all our brothers and sisters that are going through infirmities of different sorts. Let's pray for the Lord's healing to be upon them. Let's go to the next slide. Let's pray for our sisters that are looking for a job. Let's pray that during this time that they would really continue to spend, you know, devote themselves to God and really seek His will in their lives, and that the Lord will open the path, the door for them to enter into in His timing, a place where they would be called to be in, a place where they can prosper and also be blessed and bless others as well. Let's go into our mission focus. Let's pray for Cambodia. Let's pray for Grace and Bloom, the ministry. Let's also lift up Pastor Sophia and her stay in Japan, her work there in Japan as well. Let's pray for them. Let's pray for our prayer and healing ministry, IP Well and Cascade. Let's pray for His anointing and protection over everyone that serves in this ministry. Let's pray for our education ministries, Noah's Ark, led by P. Mary and Iling, SP Youth, led by P. Nate, SPU, P. Ricky, and P. Andrew. Let's pray for God's anointing, and let's pray for every young person that attend these ministries to encounter God and have such a strong encountering with Him that their root will be so deep that they will have such firm foundation that will not be shaken as they grow up. Let's lift up our Thursday outreaches, which is SP Lights and the Homie Outreach. Let's pray for God's protection over everyone that's being sent out there who are volunteering. Let's also pray that they will bring the light of God into these dark places and the love of God into those that are broken. So let's pray that they would be used as God's hands and feet as they go out today. Lord Jesus, we just want to thank you for this morning, God. We thank you that you're such a beautiful Savior, God, and there's so much hope in you, Lord. And I pray, God, that we will continue to be delighted in you and delight in your ways, God, and follow you today and every day for the rest of our lives, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please have a good morning.